I think it's quite amazing that we begin this new journey here at the hotel, Executive Plaza Hotel, and it's the first in a building. I mean, we were assembling. We've assembled a couple of times at the church office, and that counts too. I'm not discounting that. But God brought us to this passage here as we've been looking at the book of Acts now for several weeks, with this theme in mind, assembled together. Assembled together. We see that right away in verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. This was not a company like the company maybe that you work for. That's not what it means here. It means that when Peter and John were let go, they went to the church. They went to the church and to let them know what had been transpiring. We ended last week with the disciples being given a warning. Do you remember that? We talked about that last Sunday. Maybe you were joining on the live stream. And they were given a warning. And the warning they were given was not from the political authorities. It wasn't from the law authorities, if you will. I can't think of the term I want. Not police, but whatever. I guess that would be the term. But no, they were given a warning from the religious leaders of the day. It's always amazing to me to read here and read in other places in our Bible where it was the religious leaders of the day that said, stop talking about Jesus Christ. That doesn't make sense, does it? You know what, though? In a sense, that's still happening today in 2020. By the way, we aren't considered a religion. I hope you know that. We are not a religion. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are born-again Christians. If anything, we believe in a relationship, not a religion. We have a relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The mediator between God and man is the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful today to let you know that once again, those of you that are here and those that are either watching on the live stream. Again, we're thankful to be able to live stream. And you can also be patient with us that are on live stream as we are working through things here. We're not even able today. We weren't even able to plug into the internet here. That was unknown to us. And so we're using Rogers. Thankfully, Rogers has boosted us up to 75 gigabytes for the month. And we're going to be using most of that today. Just kidding. But hopefully you're able to at least hear and hear the message and follow along. But there, anyway, the Sanhedrin had heard enough and instructed Peter and John, this is last week that we were talking, in verse 18, not to preach in the name of Jesus. You see that in verse number 18. They had heard enough. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Isn't that something? They could talk about God, but not Jesus. Why is that? Well, because Jesus is God. They didn't like that too much. They didn't like that persuasion. They didn't like that truth, if you will, from the Word of God. And you know, even some today in the religious world in which we live, you can talk about God all day long, but when you start to bring Jesus into the conversation, that begins to stir things up a little bit, and a lot, for that matter. They were technically detained while they're being warned to stop preaching Jesus. They were detained. They weren't in a full-fledged prison, maybe, but they were detained. In verse 23, the Bible says, notice the beginning of verse 23, it says, and being let go. Well, if they weren't detained, then why were they let go? Well, they were let go because they were detained. So they were not standing there or staying there by their own free will. And where do they go immediately? I love this thought. I hope you do too. And being let go, verse 23, they what? Went to their own company. I love that. I think you could write there in the margin of your Bible if you have room, church, believers, family of God. They're detained, and where do they go? They go immediately to the family of God. They go to the church. They go to their own company. They go to the other people who were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today that true Christians will have a desire to be with their own company. There's nothing like being with the family of God. And oh, we've missed this time of assembling together, but it's on again. Praise the Lord. And God has given us something, and may we cherish it, and may we pray. Continue to pray for it. And I'm not saying we weren't cherishing it. I'm sure that you were, and I'm sure that I was. But they went to their own company. I mean, a challenge. And I want you to know something. Even though we're divided into A, B, and C, I hope we don't think of it that way. We're all anchor. We're all Baptist, and we're all church. We're all following the Lord Jesus Christ together. And when something comes into your life that is difficult, please don't forget to let us know so we can pray for you. When they were let go, from what? Well, they were detained. Where did they go? Immediately they went to the church. They went to the church. They went to their own company. 1 John 2 and 19, the Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Birds of a feather flock together. Hey, this is the church right here today. This is Salon A, by the way. You're in Ballroom A. Well, every time I think of it, we're meeting in a ballroom. Don't let anybody know about that. Wow, that might ruin our reputation. That church is meeting in a ballroom. Look out. It's great, isn't it? You know, we met in this room. We met in this room years ago. Wish I could tell you the story. We don't have time. I'm going to have to cut out a lot of stories. No, we'll do them as the Lord leads. But I'm glad we have a place to meet. I'm glad we have a time to sing and praise and pray and learn about the hymns and do sword drills and do all of this for the glory of God. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. And I'm thankful today for those of you that are joining us on live stream. As we read through these verses, we don't find a fearful or a worrisome spirit. Did you notice that? I don't see that in the Bible. We do find a spirit of unity and a desire to continue preaching and teaching the message of Jesus Christ. So let's jump into this outline today. Number one, in verse 23, we see their fellowship in suffering. Their fellowship in suffering. And being let go, they went to their company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. Can you imagine that? What that meeting would have been like? Maybe they were seated around somewhere. Maybe they were in a house, because a lot of those in the early days, I mean, even to have a room like this in the first century church would have been absolutely amazing. Most of them met from house to house and so forth, just small group gatherings. But can you imagine as they sat around the fire, as they sat in the house or the backyard or wherever they were, and they met together and they said, "You're not going to believe this, but this happened, and they've told us this, and they told us that." They said, "We can't talk about Jesus anymore." And they went down through it. Letter number one, their fellowship in suffering. A report is given to the church by Peter and John as to the warnings and threatenings. Where else would Peter and John go? Where else would they desire to go? Where else would they want to go to get to prayer support? Where else would they want to go to be encouraged? They had just been held against their will. Where else would they want to go? They would want to go to be with those who they knew were praying for them, and they would want to be around their own company. I think about Anchor Baptist Church like a company. I don't mean in a CEO company. I mean in a company of people, born again, baptized believers who are set apart to glorify God. We aren't perfect. We still sin. We still need the grace of God. The grace of God on John's life is needed on your life and is needed on my life. We all need the grace of God, not just to be saved, but to live daily for the Lord Jesus. We need God's grace. They were rejected by the religious crowd, but they were received by their company. The message they were preaching did not fit with the Sanhedrin and what they wanted to do. Here's a quote. "We live in a day when tolerance is a buzzword. Yet very few people seem to tolerate the teachings of Christ." In other words, it's you have to tolerate me, but I don't have to tolerate you or your God or your Jesus. Fewer people tolerate a literal interpretation and application of Scripture. Can I read that one more time? Fewer people today tolerate a literal interpretation and application of the Scripture. This is really not a surprise. Because men love what? Darkness rather than light. I'm so thankful that we have a Bible, aren't you? Oh, I'm so, boy, you need to hide God's word in your heart. Go ahead, let's memorize Psalm 1. Let's read through the book of Ruth. We're reading through it. We started it today. Let's continue in the word of God. Oh, I'm thankful for the scriptures and 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, would you turn over there quickly with me? 1 Peter chapter 4. The literal interpretation and application of the scripture. I was going to say this, and I forgot, but the Lord brought it back to my mind. Do you know that this book was written thousands of years ago, and yet it is fresh for me every morning? You know, this book is older than you and could believe, and yet, because forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, Psalm 119:89. And yet, it is applicable in 2020. Yeah, it's 1611 English for our English readers today. And some of you have other language Bibles. Praise the Lord that those have been translated. But, you know, it's not, we don't have to necessarily speak just one language, so to speak. God understands every language here in this room today. What I'm saying is this, that this book is applicable today. It's valuable today. It's relatable today. And it's relative today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange. Who's writing this, by the way? Who's the human penman of this verse? Peter. Who's in Acts 4 right now? Peter. Don't miss things. You know, see that. Here's Peter in the midst of it all. Don't preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Now here's Peter writing. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter saw it on a first-hand account. If anybody had the authority, humanly speaking, to write it, one person would be Peter. Because he's just about to enter into persecution. We're not there yet in our journey, but we're heading there. Think it not strange. Next one. But rejoice. That doesn't make sense. In other words, don't think that persecution is unusual, rejoice because of it. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, their fellowship in suffering, number one, it wasn't, oh, let's all sit around and let's all have a pity party. I don't see that. But they needed to let everybody know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. This is what we were told. Then that's going to lead to number two. Number two. So number one, their fellowship in suffering. Number two, their fellowship in supplication. So number one, their fellowship in suffering. Peter and John are saying, okay, well, I need to let this company, I need to let this church know, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem know, and I need to let you know this is what's happening. Now, their fellowship in supplication, verses 24 to 30. The challenge the early church was presented with led them to gather together for prayer. Prayer. Challenge came, what did they do? Pray. We've seen it already in this series on Acts. By the way, this is always the best response when a church is facing a challenge. You know, I still haven't sent out a follow-up email. I apologize. And quite frankly, it slipped my mind. And that's not uncommon these days for things to slip my mind. But we did that prayer and fasting journey. We did that prayer and fasting journey for 30 days. Different things that were talked about in that book and different things that you could give up, and not for the sake of fleshly, but for the sake of I'm giving this up as unto the Lord. I'm going to spend more time and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I don't know what it meant to you. I know it meant much to me, and I know that I have many notes and things, and I'm thankful for it. But that's not just a one thing that we do, and then we never come back to it again. No, all over through the history of the church, we find that when the pressure came and when the challenge came, there was a fellowship in supplication. There was a fellowship in prayer. Obviously, we've learned that our walk with God is not only for challenging times, by the way. I don't think we ought to just go to God when, you know, it's a 911 moment. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, it's an emergency. We go to God. Oh, I've got an emergency. No. Yet we need to go to God every day. What does it say in the model prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't have to pray that like repetition. but it is a model prayer that we can follow. Every day we are looking for something to eat for the most part, unless we're on the prayer and fasting journey, but we're looking for something to eat. You know what? Every day we need God. There's a fellowship. There's a camaraderie in their supplication. Let's take a quick look at this prayer, okay? First off, their fellowship and supplication. Under that, first off, it is a prayer of praise. It is a prayer of praise. Do you see that? Notice verse 24. And when they heard that, what did they hear? They heard all that the religious crowd had said not to do. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and cried out with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Can you picture this? Thou art God which hast made heaven and earth. Thou art God that hath made the sea. Thou art God that all that in them is. Thou art God who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? In other words, in verse 24, he is a powerful God. He is a powerful God. In verse 24, he is the creator God. He is the omnipotent God. You know, the Sanhedrin had power to say this, you better do it or else. But they did not have power like God had power. Oh, Psalm 62 and verse 11. The Bible says, God hath spoken once, twice I heard this. Isn't that an amazing statement? God spoke once, but I heard it twice. That's pretty good. That's the power of God. We hear it once. No, we hear it twice. Because the booming voice of God. You might hear me once, but I don't have a voice like God. When God speaks, we hear it not just once. We hear it over and over and over again. The goodness of God. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. Proverbs 15 and verse 8, the Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. I can just see it there in that day. Peter and John are giving them all the details, and there is a camaraderie there. There is a fellowship there in the suffering, but that immediately translates into a fellowship in the supplication. It's a prayer of praise. In verses 25 to 28, he is an all-knowing God. So in verse 24, he is a powerful God. In verses 25 to 28, he is an all-knowing God. And this passage of Scripture, basically, that they are quoting in their prayer is found in Psalm 2. It's found in Psalm 2. It's Psalm 2. I won't turn there for time's sake, but maybe you want to write it down. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm and a prophetical psalm speaking of the battle of Armageddon. This is what they are praying in verses 25 and onward, referring to Psalm 2. It's the hatred of God's Son. Look at verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? Remember when they crucified the Lord? I mean, they were raging. They wanted him dead, and they wanted him dead as soon as possible. Crucify him! Crucify him! Why? What evil hath he done? Well, he's called himself the Son of God. The rage, the heathen, the hatred of God's Son. But then in verses 27 to 28 of our text, there is the prophecy fulfilled. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Herod was the king of the Jews. Pontius Pilate was the Gentile ruler. King of the Jews, Herod. Pontius Pilate, the Gentile ruler. They were both involved in rejecting and crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, Psalm 2 had its initial fulfillment with the world crying out against Christ. Why do the heathen rage? That's Psalm 2, fulfilled when Jesus was going to the cross and they were hollering, crucify him, crucify him. But God took that old rugged cross and made it a means of grace. God took the old rugged cross, death, darkness in the middle of the day. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. God took that and gave you and me the opportunity to be saved. He gave us the privilege to have a grace that we do not deserve. So we see that it was a prayer of praise. But number two, their fellowship and supplication, it was a prayer for help. Praise led them to seek help from God for a specific need. Do you know what you have today? The same opportunity. You and I have the opportunity to every day praise God and then ask God for help in a specific area. Let's not be always asking and never praising. Let's take time every day to praise the Lord. Lord, behold their threatenings, is the quote there. Lord, behold their threatenings. We need God's help. We need courage today. By the way, I don't see here in this prayer that they ask God to take it away. They didn't ask God to take it away. They didn't ask God to remove it. But they did say in verse 29, Lord, you know their threatenings. Lord, you know what they're saying against us. And by the way, praise God, we have freedom today. But it's not around the world, it isn't just like it is here. There are many places in the world that there are threatenings today to not preach and teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, behold their threatenings. This is a prayer. But what do they want? They don't say, take away the threatenings. Do you see it there in verse 29? It's something for us to learn. Look, behold their threatenings. And it doesn't say, take it away. But what does it say? Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. God, we're not saying take it away, but we're saying you know their threatenings, and do you know what we need, God? We need your boldness. We need your spirit to give us the boldness to continue to preach the word of God. They needed confirmation, they needed courage, and they needed confirmation. And lastly, number three, we see their fellowship in the suffering, number one. We see their fellowship in the supplication, and we see their fellowship at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Immediately following the praise and prayer meeting, there was an evident moving of the Spirit of God. This was not Pentecost, like we saw, where the Holy Spirit came and indwelt the believers for the first time. But it was much like what happened at Pentecost. This was an outward sign that God was answering their prayers. What's the point of the most important part of this is wasn't the shaking of the room, but it was the filling of the Spirit of God. Look, folks, we're not to seek emotionalism. Although there's nothing wrong with being emotional, but that's not what we're seeking. We're seeking the mighty filling of the Spirit of God. Not for our own glorification, but for the glory of God. This filling that they were given was not to speak in tongues. That's not mentioned there. In fact, speaking in tongues is only mentioned once outside of the book of Acts, and that's not the message today. This filling was for bold preaching. By the way, this was not only for pastors. This was for all believers. The Bible says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I love verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. We won't go there because we're getting ahead there. So, Peter and John are let go. They go back to their own company. There's the fellowship of their suffering. By the way, we're supposed to weep with them who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. There's the fellowship of their supplication. Praise time. God, you alone are worthy. You're the Creator God. God, you know what they're saying, but God, we need your boldness. And then there's the fellowship of being Spirit-filled. Notice the progression. That's available for us today. That's available for you, for me. The Holy Spirit empowers for witnessing, and the Holy Spirit enables for serving. What a wonderful time to be a Christian right now, September 6th, 2020. We've got the whole counsel of the Word of God. We've got, as Christians, the indwelling of the Spirit of God with an opportunity to be filled. Not just indwelt, but filled, which means controlled by all the time. The Spirit of God in 2020, nothing can stop us from living for God except the world, the flesh, and the devil. And let's just stop yielding to those three, and let's continue to yield to the Spirit of God.